Our listeners have suggested many stories we should tell of Andy Wise and Paralympic glory, games as well. On Super Sunday years ago, I played a four-square game. Since then, my strange and twisted life has never been the same. And recently, a listener told us, get out to the field where poets challenge writers, because neither side will yield. Only a Game's Karen Given answered the call, and she brings us this report from Montpelier, Vermont.
It's 15 minutes before game time, and I'm in the appointed place, the vast and serene campus green at Vermont College of Fine Arts. But there are no bats, no balls, no bases, and no players for VCFA's annual Writers versus Poets softball game. Suddenly, Victoria Reyes storms onto the scene.
First of all, I'm a poet.
Okay.
Reyes is in his fourth semester at VCFA. Like the rest of the writing program's 124 students, he's only on campus twice a year for two 10-day residencies. He graduates this winter, so this is his last chance to lead the poets to victory.
There's two things. One, the United States invests way too much money in sports and too much emotion, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing, this game is life or death. That's all you need to know.
Some say this is the 30th annual softball game pitting prose writers against poets. Others suggest it's the 32nd. Everyone knows that the poets won for 15 years in a row, unless it was 18 years in a row. No one seems to know the overall record. Louise Crowley, director of the MFA in Writing Program, says the game itself is similarly imprecise.
We might have 50 people in the outfield. It's just, you know, kind of a real informal, crazy game.
Eventually, will there be bases?
There will be bases, yes. There will be bases. There will be a batter. There will be a catcher, you know. But other than that, it's just kind of a free-flowing, everything goes.
Well, almost everything goes.
We kind of can't let it go on for 15 innings.
The game has to be over in time for dinner. After dinner, there's a reading and then hours of painstaking writing and rewriting before workshops begin again early tomorrow morning.
I don't think anybody's ever been willing to let it end at a tie, though. Maybe somebody reads a poem and a piece of prose and they decide which is better. I don't know. You may hear some poetry reading out here in the midst of the game.
Outfield.
Yeah.
Outfield.
So we got four outfielders. Good. Perfect.
Okay.
Dude, we had like 18.
Yeah.
Last time. Yeah. And yeah, it was the ball still fell.
Faculty members are encouraged to play. Previously on the roster, at least one Pulitzer Prize winner and the Poet Laureate of Vermont. But poetry instructor Matthew Dickman has a pre-existing injury this time around, so his job is to provide inspiration of the negative variety.
Whenever a fiction writer gets up to bat a student, I'm going to sit behind them and talk about how difficult it is to get published, how they'll probably just go back to a life of working wherever they work, and their dreams will come to an end. And I'm also going to tell them, I'm not joking around, I kind of hate you, you know?
That is certainly more dramatic than Hey Batter Batter.
And maybe not poetic, but, you know, it works.
The writers are taking a more positive approach.
Oh, the pros. Pros always wins. Always. The poets, they're just a bunch of illiterists.
Connie Mae Fowler is a novelist, essayist, screenwriter, and faculty member, but she is not a softball player. Though the prose writers have fallen behind early, Fowler stands at the sidelines, assured her team has the tenacity to pull out a victory.
We sit for hours and hours and hours to produce one page, and they, you know, just sit around and write a couple of lines and call it a poem. Come on, Fo! Ah!
Most of the pitches only make it about two-thirds of the way to home plate. And home plate isn't so much a plate, it's the catcher's chest protector laying on the ground where home plate should be. Every once in a while, the pitcher lobs in a good one, and the batter manages a hit, usually a pop fly that hangs over the outfield. And although the number of outfielders has ballooned to at least a dozen, every single one of those pop flies drops to the grass. By the top of the second inning, a total of 16 runs has been scored. The game began under sunny skies, but just 30 minutes later, storm clouds have gathered. The players are undeterred by showers, but it's lightning that finally forces the teams from the field in the fourth, with the Poets ahead 12-6. It's their first victory in years. No one is happier than co-captain Victoria Reyes.
Here's the thing. Since last year, we've been training nonstop for this game. Or talking about training, or...
Writing poetry about training?
Right. Actually, we didn't train at all. But the point is, my life is fulfilled.
Your entire life?
Exactly. That's it. I'm happy.
Reyes might be happy, but I'm not. The game has ended with nary a soliloquy. No one has hurled a haiku or lobbed a limerick.
Well, I think in honor of this victory, I will recite Dream Deferred by Langston Hughes. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun?
And as the writers and the poets and the dozens of bystanders run quickly for cover, Victoria Reyes braves the rain to make sure at least one of my dreams comes true.
Maybe it sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Poets!
For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
Check out Karen's photos of this literary diamond jubilee and tell us which you think are poetic and which aren't. Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti, and we had help this week from James Trout. Our intern is Jasper Wilson. Special thanks to all our former staffers who helped make the program what it is today. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. Our final word comes from July 24th, 1993.
This is Only a Game, and I'm Bill Littlefield. This week's free advice, worth precisely what it costs, don't worry about the Red Sox.
Prophetic, isn't it? I'm Bill Littlefield. Thank you for listening for so many years, nay, decades. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at MelvilleTrust.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world on the web at Hewlett.org. This is NPR.